Well, the Lord changed some things of what I was going to do this morning. Just right before I come up here, I want to share with you some things. The Lord wants me to do a little bit of explanation on some things. In fact, the Lord had spoken to me about doing some teaching on some areas of healing. I was going to start that next week, but there's some things He wants me to share with this morning, which I did not have planned to do, but because a certain situation has arisen. And it's good sometimes just to explain some things. Sometimes we're going to, you know, things happen, and things that happen, you know, we have this idea in the church. It's just sort of like when something goes wrong or something happens to someone, we have a tendency just to go over and just, you know, pray, ask God to fix the thing. And this is one of the reasons why I believe we have the doctrine in the church today of the belief that sometimes God heals, sometimes He don't. And I believe it's because of that. We've caused it by, just immediately trying to override things with our faith where our faith can't go. You know, you just can't use your faith out there with everybody else. You can't just make things happen for people who are heading in another direction. You can't force things on them. If we could force my faith on people, if I could force people to be healed, then I could force people to be saved. And we could just get everybody in the world saved. Well, you find out that is not going to happen. That people's wills and things are involved, and there's things that go on and happen. And I'm just going to, however the Lord goes with this, because sometimes when it goes to praying, there's an incident. Mike and Darlene Arendo, they were going away for the weekend and things, and they had planned on this. But anyhow, yesterday I got a call from Mike, and Darlene's mother had a massive stroke yesterday. And so she's in the hospital. From the doctor's prognosis, it's not good. I mean, she's had a large portion, part of her brain. They said one side of her brain is dead, and they have her in the hospital. The doctors say she probably wouldn't be able to talk or walk or anything like that because of it. And and I was going to talk to you this morning because one of the things I do want to let you know, but I want to is when people, this is what generally people go over into these areas right away. They want to pray in about healing. Well, number one, she doesn't need healing. She needs a miracle. There'd have to be a miracle take place because her brain can't be healed. If part of it's dead, it requires a miracle to have that restored. You need to understand the difference between those. And let me just say that in talking about these areas and just give you some information, because we're going to be dealing with some of these things in the areas of healing. I'm going to talk to you about some things that probably most of the time people don't talk about, with stuff with healing and things, and why people don't get healed and things go on. We're going to talk about some of these things, because we just, majority of the time, say, if you go to a big name ministry, you go to one of their big, you know, convention things or something that they have healing services and stuff go on, and they only teach one side of healing. But you understand why. It's not they're wrong. What they're doing is at those meetings, they don't have the time to sit around and teach everything. Pastors are supposed to be teaching stuff that they don't. And so people don't know what's going on. And what happens, they just teach trying to bring people to the place of faith, and they get a certain percentage of people healed doing that in that area, and that's their whole focus that they're doing. But there's many people that don't get healed, and there's reasons why they don't. And there's numbers of reasons sometimes why people, different people, don't get healed. And we have to understand that. There's one thing is Christians never deal with cause. They're always trying to get the end result without understanding what's causing the problem. If the cause does not get fixed, you'll never get the end result. You never get the end result. It'll never happen. You can sit for years, and that's what happens to people. People sit for years, and they don't know why. They'll say, well, we're trusting God, trusting God. Well, you can trust God and die. I buried people that said they were trusting God. So it didn't work. Well, was it God's side? No, it's our side. This is a hard thing with people of dealing with the area of cause. People don't want to listen to. That's what people hate, because it means we have something wrong with us. And people don't want to hear that I could be at fault. I might be a problem. They don't want to hear that. Many people would rather keep their problem than admit they're wrong. You'd be surprised how many. Loads of people won't change. People sit and listen to teaching that tells them exactly what their problem is and they won't listen to it. They won't hear it. Might as well fess up to it if you find out what's wrong. Dear Lord, you know, we all miss it at times. We all miss it. And if you don't get over that thing, understand this about yourself. What you think you're hiding, everybody knows. I'm just telling you. Everybody knows. So get over it. And people think, what? And the people come and say, why don't they wake up? Why don't I say, that's up to them. I don't know. But they think they're hiding it. And they know it, but they think nobody knows and everybody knows. You know? We just miss it at times and we're doing things and it's obvious we're missing. So what? Get over it. I'd rather get fixed. Wouldn't you? Don't you want to get fixed? I want to get fixed. Now, I want to talk about this because it's one of the things, from her circumstance, we're going to use it, and it's not anything. We're not pointing any fingers at her. But she is not in a position of herself to get healed. Understand this. When you get people in situations, and I want you to get a hold of this and listen, it'll help you out. One of the things that lots of times things never turn around in a situation, because people immediately they do, they start praying for healing, 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 and they're heading in a completely wrong direction. Now, in her standpoint, if she had a numbers of health problems to begin with and never could get none of them fixed, so she has no faith to get this fixed. She has none. She has zero. Now, she's born again Christian, but she has zero faith to get this fixed. Now, to get it fixed, you would have to know the condition that she is in or what's going on, why this has been happening, why her conditions have been there. Unless God tells you, you don't know. And unless they get turned around, sometimes, I don't care what you pray and do, you can't change things. Some things, all things are possible to him that believeth. But that doesn't mean that you can push your faith, like I said, over on somebody else. You can't do that. It's their condition at the time. You know, when a person's unconscious, when a person's in an unconscious state, understand this, if they have their will set in a certain direction, unless they become conscious again, it can't be changed. Now, let me just tell you, you need to understand this. You have to be conscious in this realm to set something in motion to be faith. You can't do it being unconscious. You have to make a conscious effort here while you're here breathing. If you're here and you're unconscious and you can't make a change. I've experienced this in my own walk dealing with people in the areas sometimes of healing. And people wonder why people can't be healed. Sometimes people, you know, things happen and people don't change. The first one I heard about, Kenneth Hagin told about the story of a Rhema graduate who he was in his 20s. He said, like 26 years old or 28 years old or something like that. But anyhow, he was dying anyhow in the hospital. And he was out at in Tulsa, Oklahoma there when the City of Faith was open. And he was a Rhema grad. And Brother Hagin went down. They asked him to come down to the hospital. He went down to the hospital to pray for this young man. Brother Hagin said when he went into the room and stuff, and he went in to pray for the young man, he said he laid his hand on the man. And the Lord said this to him and said, he said, spiritual laws have been set in motion and they cannot be changed. And he thought, boy, that's weird, because he had never heard that. So he laid his hands on this young man, and the Lord spoke to him again. Spiritual laws have been set in motion, and they cannot be changed. And he asked the Lord, well, what is about this? And the Lord said, he's going to die. He said, he has set spiritual laws in motion, and they can't be changed. Well, he found out then what happened was, this young man, it turned around, he asked the different ones of the family, because the family had come and gotten together, and they got talking about, and everyone in the family said, he used to say, like, I'm never going to live past my 28th birthday. or 26, it was like 26 or 20 years. He used to say, and they said, he used to say that all the time. He'd never lived past it. You see, he set a spiritual law in motion. And that was set. Now he's unconscious. He can't change that. It can't be changed while you're unconscious. And understand this, you can set something so solidly in you that you can't change it if you wanted to. You can set things in you. You can, and understand, it's not a bad thing. You can learn to set things in you that are good and set them in. There's people who set their stubbornness and setting in things, and it will never be changed. You can't change it. They will never change. They've gotten so hardened, they will never change. Now, we don't like to hear that. We like the preaching that says, well, God can do anything. Yes, God can do anything, but in a sense. But God, if God could just do anything, he'd straighten us all out quick, wouldn't he? It's like the Lord gave Brother Hagin a revelation one time. A guy came up and said, God can do anything. He said, if God can do anything, why can't he make you pay your tithes? He said, the guy got quiet real quick. See, we have these religious cliches and we throw them out there. These things are the things that what makes it hard in Christianity, that people have bounds that they can't learn in. Because these cliches, we take them as truth and they're not. They're not true. We like to crawl up the one side of the mountain where we see over here where everything looks good. We don't like going up the mountain over here to find out why things didn't go well. We don't want to see over into that area, so we never go to that area. And it's dealing with this situation because, I had prayed about this. The Lord spoke to me and told me some things about this situation. And I had I talked with Mike about him, and the Lord had spoken to Mike about some things. And so we found out, you know, God was dealing with us concerning this. It's number one, it doesn't do any good to pray into the area of healing about this. Because number one, if the working of miracles don't go into operation, and understand, that's a gift of the Spirit. And they operate as the Spirit wills. You just can't make those happen because you want them to. They operate by the will of the Spirit. They don't operate by the will of my prayer or your prayer either. Gifts of the Spirit don't go into operation because you want them to. Oh my God, if they did, I'd throw the switch all the time. Wouldn't you? Well, you'd be wrong. That's why God never gave us the switch. Because you are uncontrollable at the switch. Because you don't know all you need to know. There's one thing, as I know from this standpoint, just what the Lord showed me. I understand why the situation is gone, and I understand, and I'm not going to talk about it because you don't need to know. But there's things that happen that people need to, you know, they need to deal with. And we don't know. Sometimes God, and I've used examples already, and I'll use them again here today. Folks, this has nothing to do with what we were going to teach. I know this is Father's Day, but, you know, we can learn in these areas. It'll be a big blessing in our lives. You know, I use the things because I talked to Wanda last night. You know, Wanda's grandfather had gotten born again. Like, he must have been back, I don't know, like in the 1930s or 40s when they lived out in the Dakotas. He got born again. There was a revival in a church started, and he got born again. But he ended up in his later years when I got to know him and that stuff. And he was in the hospital, and he wasn't in good shape and things. And I went in to visit him, and I sat down, visited him, and I talked to him about the Lord and salvation. And it was the strangest thing because I never heard this man ever make a mention about God at all in his life or nothing, anything like that. And I made mention to him about salvation. He looked at me, and it was the first time I ever saw him light up like this. He just lit up. And he said, yeah, he said, when we lived in South Dakota in the farms out there, he said there was a revival started. And he said, me and my wife went down the altar and we accepted Jesus. And it stunned me because I never thought the man was ever born again. He would never had anything in his life that ever, in his living, that you'd ever thought he was born again. But I want you to know this. I found out a little something goes on. Because when I left the hospital, and let me say this to you, this will be good for you to hear. You know, most of the time God never speaks to me in a hospital. You know why? And most people never catch it. It's all the unbelief. A spirit of unbelief stops the power of God from working and speaking. Most of the time when I'm outside the hospital and I'll pray about something about somebody in the hospital, God will talk to me. But if I go to the hospital, so much unbelief in those places, it's hard to go. And usually if the family's in there and they're a Christian, it's usually worse. They're the most unbelieving people in the bunch. See, if a person don't know how to operate in faith, they let their emotions run them. And when something happens to somebody they like, most Christians are some of the most emotional people you meet in your life, and they over there praying for somebody to be healed, but they're waiting for them to die. God don't give you what you want. He gives you what you can believe for. I don't care what you want. You don't have any idea you're going to get it. But anyhow, I left the hospital and I was walking. I'll never forget. You know, spiritual things never grow old. It's like to me, I can see myself just like it was yesterday, walking across the parking lot there at the Good Samaritan Hospital. And I walked out and said, Lord, this man's been born again. Look how things are. He's been born again. And the Lord said, this is what happens to people when they accept me and they never walk in the light of it. His whole family ended up messed up over this stuff. See, if you know, tell people, don't accept Jesus. If you ain't going to follow this thing, it might make life worse for people. If you ain't going to follow it. And his life, just things were messed up. And it broke my heart about it. Well, in a short period of time, they had moved him to a nursing home over in Campbelltown, and he was dying. And so they called us and let us know, and Wanda and I went up. We went up to visit, and we went into the room where he was. He was in there, and in fact, he wasn't conscious at the time, and we went in. And when I walked in there, the spirit of death was in the place. It was death in there. And the people that were in the room, see, and it was one of those places, God has a hard time talking to anybody because the room was just full of unbelief. The people that were there, it just filled, you know. They were all cooperating with death as best they could. And so I went to try to even pray in the place, and I said to Wanda, I'll never forget, I said, I can't even pray here. I said, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of this place. It was why Jesus sometimes took people aside and took them away. The crowd, unbelief of the crowd. There's many people don't get healed because of the church you're in. Their church keeps them sick. The unbelief of that church keeps them sick. They keep trying to minister to them in that congregation. You need to get them out of there to get them well. This is good. This is good preaching. This is good. So you need to understand this, why the Bible's like it is. This is one thing that I like about here. I can do a lot of things in here that I cannot do at other places. I can sit here and I can talk about things. I'd never go to most 99% of the churches in this town. I'd never talk about this stuff. There'd be no point. The ears would be closed. We all love Jesus as long as he fits our religious little religious things we got going in here. But anyhow, we were leaving, so we're driving on the car on the way home. And, sometimes we go to praying, and this is one thing that I advised Mike and Darlene. I said, sometimes, we go, we just stay in with God on scriptures. I said, some of the greatest moves of God I had is when I just poured my heart out to him, what I sensed and felt about what was going on. And I said, I had God do more things just because in my heart, it wasn't a selfish thing, but in my heart, I just didn't want to see things turned out the way they were. I wanted something better. And one of the things that really bothered me concerning was because of Wanda and what Wanda was going through because of her family, the messed up things, and her grandpa's dying, and the family's members are a mess. And there's all spiritual reasons because of this. There's Christians involved who don't walk right, and they're some of the biggest messes in the bunch. And they think it's the other heathens in the family. Lots of times I can put up better with the heathens in the family than I can the Christians. They're more trouble than the heathens are. But I said, and I just poured my heart out to God. And I was driving, and I just said, the Lord, Lord, I'm not satisfied this thing turning out like this with him. I said, this is my wife's family. And I said, I'd hate to have him die. I said, because if something don't get fixed, this mess just goes on. It just continues. And I was just pouring my heart out to him about that. And I said, I said, my wife deserves better than this. I just wanted something better for my wife, and her family. And it just bothered me. And I said, when I see Grandpa going like this, I said, there was nothing nice about it. The family's, messed up. And I've told this before, you know, I was out near Fry's Market there driving. I'll never forget just coming down over there. I remember looking down. We're getting close to the turn where you're coming into Colebrook Road. You can see the market. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, you go back and lay hands on him and I'll raise him up and I'll make his last days better than his first. He said, I'm not doing this for him. He has no right to ask me for this. He said, I'm doing this for you. And God gave him 5 more years. God gave that man. And there's a lot God turned around. His last 5 years were a whole lot better with ones in the family than things. And I was just always really thankful that, you know, and it was just because I asked. Because it's something that, you know, was dear to me. God's interested in what's dear to you. You know, I'm not just being, this isn't something you use selfishly. I was really just concerned for my wife. And I just thought, you know, God wants to bless people. He wants to do something good for people. And I just watch people all the time who say they want something good, but are always putting roadblocks up to it. They're always throwing roadblocks up to what's good. God's wanting to bring something good. And see, God wants to bring something good out of this situation, I believe, but we got to find out, you know, so this is one thing as I told Mike and Darlene, I talked to them about, I said, you know, it isn't about going to asking God about healing or anything like that. I said, you need to find out what you can do. You need to hear from heaven, because you don't know in her condition of what she can really hear or what she can't hear or what you don't know. You know, if your brain goes to the place where it don't function, you can't get in contact with an individual spirit. We get in contact with our spirit through our mind. And if your mind gets shut off, you can't change a thing. So I said, we don't know. I said, the doctors don't know. They give you their prognosis. And I said, I learned a long time ago, when it comes to the spiritual side, I know 1,000 times more than they do. And I said, I'm a baby at it, so it means they're in bad shape. All they know is the physical side of the stuff. It's all that most of them know. They know the physical, but understanding the spiritual conditions, you need to understand how those two things cooperate together, the physical and the spiritual. And I said, what you need to find out is we need to seek God and ask God about what you can do if things can be changed. Sometimes things go to the point they can't be changed, and you need to know that. You'll waste your time and wear yourself out trying to go through a faith thing when you can't use it. Don't do that. I can tell when I'm hooked up with God and when I'm not. I can tell when I'm praying and the Holy Spirit's hooked up with me and He's not. When you pray, you can tell. If you can't tell, it's because you're praying out of your head and not out of your heart. If you're praying out of your heart, you will know whether you're hooking up in the areas of faith with something. I've always tell over to, I'll pray about something. And there's many times I've stopped and said, Lord, I could just, Holy Ghost, you're not hooking up with me on this. What's going on? What's happening? You're not hooking up with me. I've prayed at times. I've had prayed for people already on things. And over time, and I could tell the Holy Spirit would never hook up with me. And one day, I said, the Lord, Holy Ghost, why don't you hook up with me on this thing? And He explained to me why He wouldn't. Sometimes it's concerning an individual. You know, sometimes, let me just say this. Sometimes we pray and ask God to do something, to awaken an individual or to do something. And you know He does, but they don't respond to it and we think ain't nothing happened. We get into our little unbelief. Then we go back and pray some more. Oh God, Lord God, touch him. Oh God, do something. Oh God, wake them up. Oh God. And the whole time they have been awakened, they won't respond to God. You know, sometimes people won't. Like I had the Lord tell me one time, a person knows what to do. They were dealing with a demonic problem. And the Lord said to me, and I was praying because I knew there was a demon involved in this thing. And the Lord said, you can't do nothing about it. They know what to do and won't do it. He said, they know. He said, you can't. He said, you're wasting your time. I found out over the years I have wasted quite a bit of time on some things. I just and so did you. Randall Greer has a series. Everybody ought to go get it. It's How to Waste Your Time Praying. Because there's a ton of that goes on. I'm not knocking anybody. I've done it. I've prayed about things, a waste of my time. It's learning to ask God. And I said to Mike and Darlene, I said, you need to go over and start to pour your heart out to God about this. Find out what you can do, what the condition is. See, we have this ideal. Let's just pray for healing. We just jump right to that. And We never ask God. I learned from Kenneth Hagin. I learned from being in a room where he's praying at and listening to him pray. Brother Hagin would do this all the time, even when he would know exactly what the Word said about things. Brother Hagin would pray, and when he'd pray in English, he would pray and say, you know, about whatever he was standing on by faith, whatever scriptures he was in. But he would always say, Lord, if there's something else you want to do or something else we need to know, you let us know. We'll do whatever you want. See, most people don't. We have the faith people just try to push everything through without God. We don't stop. You know, the Bible, I can show you many ways to get healed in the Bible. Most people will just pick one and they will push that one every time, push that one every time, push that. Well, maybe God wants to do a difference. You know, maybe he wants you to go wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. You better pay attention. People don't listen. People think prayer is this one-way street. I tell God what he's supposed to do and then he does it for me. That's not faith. That's babyhood stuff. That's little babies. That's not adult faith. That's baby faith. I want to cooperate with God. I want to know what he's doing and get in line. I want to get success. Over the years, I've had some good successes in some areas and even with other people getting stuff done. But the only reason I had success is I found out what God was doing and got in cooperation with him. I just don't take the word and just go push it like, you know, in a sense, a lot of faith people do that. You know, there's causes, like I said, there's causes that times that people don't get healed. There's causes, and if those causes don't get fixed, you don't find the cause, you can sit and do the faith thing all you want and tell people your faith, and it ain't going to work. Got to deal with causes. You know, if we, I want to show you something, just, you know, to read. You know, I'm a big Mark 11, 23 and 24 person. You know, I know it works. But there's other scriptures I know too. Now, Mark 11, 23 says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed and be cast in the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you may receive them and you will have them." And then there's 25. "And whatever you stand praying," in other words, whenever you go through this thing, "if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." And your prayer ain't going to be answered. So in other words, he deals with a cause here. There can be a cause. Unforgiveness can be a cause. Holding something against somebody, doing something. You can have this. So there's causes. Now we go to the scriptures. There can be many things that causes. We can't just sit down, and this is one, you can't just sit and write a book and say this, this, and this, and this. With people, it can be different in each person. We don't know what goes on in an individual's heart without God would have to reveal it to us. I don't know what, you know. Sometimes God tells me why. The Lord spoke to me certain things concerning this situation to tell me that you know, we're in a situation here where there was a cause. Now, I don't know exactly what the cause is, but there's a cause. Unless the cause is changed, unless things are changed, well, whether can it be or not? He didn't tell me whether it could be or not. And so I told Michael, they're going to find out if things could be changed. I just know that there's something that's blocking the way in this, and it has been for a long time. Now, that doesn't mean it's any big thing, any huge sin. See, you can sit down and think, you know, just the fact of unbelief. You know, some people can't get healed. Some people wait too long and they can't get healed. They never get in faith for healing till something bad happens. Then they try, and many times it's too late. Unless the gift of the Spirit goes into operation, lots of times they don't get healed. A person that waits till they have come up with some serious disease, something really serious, that's deadly, most of the time cannot get themselves in the position of faith to be healed unless a gift of the Spirit goes into manifestation. Or God lets them. You know, it's just like them. And understand, I don't know why God does this. Let me just explain. I don't know why God does this. But God initiates healing sometime, and I don't know why. He initiates them. We have it in scriptures. Just think of the Pool of Siloam. Jesus didn't heal the guy per se. He operated under a gift of the Spirit. He went in the pool. If Jesus was operating, he could do whatever he wanted. When he went into the Pool of Siloam and healed that guy, and he took up his bed and walked, there was five porches of sick and lame people there, and nobody else got healed. So he wasn't initiating the healing. God initiated the healing. We don't know why, but we know this. Jesus talked to the guy later and said, don't go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. In other words, this guy was sick because of sin. People can have sin in their life that's causing them sickness. And if they don't deal with that sin, they will never get healed. Now, the mercy of God, we don't have explanation in Scripture why the Holy Ghost moved in that, and a gift of the Spirit went in manifestation. We know that guy had no faith. He didn't know who Jesus was, so we know he never heard Jesus preach. He never didn't even know who Jesus was. He had never, so he had zero faith to get healed. The only faith he had if he could get in the water. Well, that was the faith of everybody at the pool. If I can be the first guy in, I can get healed. You know what? In a sense, that's what we have today with the big healing ministries. It's who can get in the pool first. There's only a certain percentage are going to get healed that way. Everybody else is going to keep laying by the pool unless they develop their faith. My job is to develop faith in people so people, whoever listens, can go and get in, get healed, and don't have to go to the pool. Most Christians, all they want to do is go to the pool and keep laying by the pool and laying by the pool and hoping one day they get in. Faith, you don't have to do that. The woman with the issue of blood, she didn't have to do that. The woman with the issue of blood chose. She initiated her own healing. She initiated her healing. She went and did it and got it in her time instead of God's time. She got it in her time. She said, when I touch his garment, I'm going to be made well. She set the time. You can know why a lot of people, their faith never rises to the place. They're always waiting on God. I learned a long time ago. He already said what he wants to do. I'm going to set some things because I know what he wants to do. Everybody else is sitting around waiting for God. God's been waiting on us. You ain't been waiting for God. He's been waiting on you. Hallelujah. I found that out a long time ago. Dear Lord. So he has promised and given things. But anyhow, you get in these areas, you know, you get over there like this, the Pool of Siloam thing. God initiated. If you could turn, I would always love if you could turn it on and off. It's like with me over the years at times, and I've had, you know, not a whole lot. You know, gifts don't just kick on and off, you know, all the time. But the gift of faith has operated through me, where really it's faith outside of my faith. And it only happens when this gift drops on me. And all of a sudden, you know, you can just believe for something. I've had it a number of times. And I've told the story, but I want you to get it. God initiates healings, and sometimes you don't know why he does. And or sometimes even why, you know, there's some things I've found out over the years of there's some things have to be set in motion that he could do certain things. But when I worked at Reese Candy Company, and I've told this story before, and it might, you know, this might enlighten you a little bit more about the situation, because sometimes I may say certain things and certain things you don't, just whatever's relevant about it, what's relevant about this. Anyhow, there was a lady I worked with, and I saw her one day. She was crying, and I wanted to ask her what was going on, and she told me that her mom was being taken to hospital. It was on a Thursday. And she said her mom's been taken to the hospital. Her mom has cancer. And they took her in and they said she wouldn't live for the weekend. She wasn't going to live out the weekend. So she was crying about this. And she walked away and she left. And I was in this room, one room by myself. And I'm inside this room. And I just said to the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, it just seems to me, I said, you know, this woman, because she had told me her mom was only like 60 years old. And I said, this woman's dying and she got grandkids. You know, I'm just sort of talking to God, but I didn't realize this at the time, and I realized it later. This thing was initiated by God. It wasn't initiated by me, just by me praying. This thing got initiated by God. And just as clear, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, just as out and clear, said, you rebuke death from her and command it to leave, and she'll live and not die. Just as clear. And when he said that, this anointing came on me. I didn't initiate the anointing for sure. And she came on me, I mean, just boldly, I commanded death to leave her and her live. And you know what? I could not believe that she wouldn't live. Now, we're dealing here with a situation. I don't even know where this woman's faith at. I will be honest with it. I doubt that she had even had any kind of faith to be healed, other than she was a Christian, but I don't think she knew a thing about faith and healing. I don't think she knew a thing about it. They would just pray, and they would just pray, you know, and try. That's, you know, they would didn't know nothing about it. So, anyhow, the next week, I see the lady. I come to work the next week, and I see her, and I walk her out. She said, they sent my mom home from the hospital. They said, her cancer went into remission. She's doing great. She went home. They're completely surprised. They're surprised about it. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I'd love to be able to do that kind of thing more often. And I wanted to know why, but he didn't speak to me at the time. But he did give me a partial of a revelation. I don't know, and he's never spoken to me or told me. And there's certain things you need to understand. There's certain things that belong to God and the person, and you're never going to find out, and you don't need to know nosy. When God don't bother to tell me about in those things, I let him alone. I've learned over time, I just let it alone. You know, because people get focused and spend their life focused on things that really don't matter. And what they need in their life, they never pay any attention to. You've run into that already, haven't you? People are just the insignificant they spend all their time with. That's a lot of Christians. A lot of Christianity spends their time in insignificant instead of going in what they really need. But, you know, it happened a couple weeks later. She's talking with a couple of the other ladies, and I walk up to her, and I ask her about her mom, and mom's doing great and stuff. And she makes this statement. She said, because she had no idea why it took place. She was very thankful. She's a Christian. She's very thankful to God, what God did. But she doesn't understand. And God never told me to tell anybody other than I use it as a testimony to people. God never told me to say something to her about how it happened or how it was done. I don't know if it had done them any good or not, you know. You don't always just go run around and tell everybody because, you know, some people, they're going to think you're a nut. And most of them thought I was a nut anyhow, so how's this cat? But anyhow, this nut God used to help a lot of people, and they know nothing about it. I don't go tell them. Things that I get over in the area, do over in prayer, and get change things for people, I never had God go tell me about it. He's never told me ever go tell anybody about it. There's people, they think they got all their faith, they did something, and I know they didn't. I know where it was gotten at. I'm sure there's things in my life other people got for me. Somebody had to get a hold of God to get me saved, dear God. But anyhow, she made this mention. And I want you to understand this. This is one of the things you need to know about unbelief. Unbelief kills sick people. Your unbelief can kill sick people. You need to understand these things. That's why you need to watch yourself being around people who need faith in operation and you're over in unbelief. That's why Jesus put everybody out of the room to raise the daughter. With nothing but unbelief in that other room. You don't go around those kind of people. You'll never get nothing done. And anyhow, the Lord gave me a revelation that day about a thing concerning them. She made this mention. She said, my brothers and sisters, we had been praying for my mom. We wanted her healed and we're praying. She said, we realized we were getting nowhere with it. I thought, my God, this is better. Most spirit-filled people don't even realize when they're not getting it. They'll just keep pushing and pushing until it blows up in their face. You know, and anyhow, she said, so we got together and agreed we were just going to turn her over to the Lord and just turn her over to the Lord. And this is what the Lord said to me. Right there while she was talking, he said, when they turned that over, he said, I could find somebody I could use and got her healed. See, until they released it, this is why when you hang on with your unbelief and keep trying to push it with your unbelief, See, they had authority that I didn't have. They had more authority in that thing because they're a family member. They had more authority. They had control over that thing. God didn't have control over it. I didn't have control over it. God couldn't get control and turn something over to me till he got them to turn off. I learned this from Kenneth Hagin, and it's true. Now listen to this. He said, if I can get a person into neutral, lots of times I can get something for them. But most people will never go to neutral. They want to keep pushing their unbelief, what they call their faith. See, they turned off. They came to the place to realize it wasn't working. It wasn't working. So they did a very smart thing. Instead of keep pushing, here's another thing. You can keep a person in this earth sick and in pain because of your unbelief, a family member, by keep praying for them and keep praying for them and keep praying for them. Hold them here in terrible pain and death. You can't get them healed. They used the term years ago, instead of getting a Christian through the gates of heaven, we send them through the jaws of death by holding them for a long time here, can't get them healed. So you don't find out from God. You don't get a hold of these things. This is some good teaching, folks. You need to understand, I can use my faith and hold people here. If it's a family member, I can hold them. They ain't going till I release them. But one thing, I ain't going to just do that because of my stubbornness and my unbelief and my, I'm going to miss them. Well, to depart and be with Christ is far better. We need to get that revelation in the church. The church today thinks living's the best. Living here is the best. You see, you need to be careful. See, they were holding her really in a bad position. They were holding her. She's been suffering for a long time with cancer. And their unbelief is holding her for a long time. And God can't do a thing about it. They could have held that till eventually the body would probably ate itself through cancer and it would have just, and she would have went on and died miserably. See, there's things that we need to understand here in Christianity. God wants to bless people. The Lord has taught me over the years, when a person's going to die, I want to find out. I've had on occasions where the Lord has said to me, they're not going to be healed, they're going to die. He said, get them ready with a good homecoming. See, most people don't do that. Most Christians are always fighting, trying to get the person well. They're in their own little whining and crying thing. They're not thinking. See, most of our sorrow when somebody dies has nothing to do with the person. It's all about us. And that's why we get so messed up. Now, I'm not criticizing, but you got to learn to get past that and look at the individual. God taught me to get past me and look at the person and want to hear from heaven about the person because we want to get the person a good homecoming. Look, God is desire. He wants to get people reward. This is why God wants Christians to get right before they die. So when they meet Jesus, there's nothing sin and stuff between them. If they have sin they need to repent of, that's why you want to get that stuff fixed before they die. See, when a person gets over in unconsciousness, you can't get that fixed. So if they turn around and go home, then they go home and they lose reward. God is a rewarder. Understand that. That's His purpose. Getting to heaven isn't... God don't want you to just get to heaven. He wants to reward you when you get there. He wants to reward you. He don't want you getting to heaven with a long face when you meet Him. I'm just going to tell you this. Not everybody goes to heaven smiling when they meet Jesus. Don't you even think it. Loads of people go to heaven with regret. I don't want to go. Do you? And I don't want my loved ones going that way either. I don't want the devil determining what happens. And see, the church got to wake up in these areas. We've been babies about this stuff. People leaving the earth and they're not leaving like God wants them to leave. Because God wants to reward people. When you go to heaven, they want to have a good cheer and a shout. Not you get there and be just surprised you made it. But see, we need to understand the importance of these things. God is working, and it's one thing. We have to learn how to cooperate with God. We can't just force ourselves asking questions. And I told Mike and him, I said, you need to see God, ask what you can do. So, you know, if you want to pray for Mike and Ann, pray for them to have wisdom and get God to show them what they're able to do, because under the condition, I hate to see her leave. She's going to go to heaven. But I would hate to see her leave without whatever it is get straightened out concerned with God. I'm not criticizing her. But I'm telling you, we can learn from these experiences, because you know what? If Jesus tarries, you might come to that place. Are you going to be ready? Right now, my job in the earth is to get Christians ready. My job is not to the world. My job is to get Christians ready to meet Jesus. That's why I'm pushing about getting things right. Because Jesus Christ told Kenneth Hagin when he returns for the church that many of his people, many, he said, are not going to be ready to meet me at my coming. Kenneth Hagin's ministry was specifically to get the church ready for the return of Jesus Christ. That's my job. I sat under that ministry because that's the job God gave me, to help him fulfill what God had given him to do, is to get the church ready. I want you guys to be ready. When you meet Jesus, it's glory to God. Hallelujah. It's reward time. It ain't, let's go hide behind the crowd here somewhere. I want you ready to meet Jesus. I want you to have reward, because that's what God wants. That's what the, you know, when judgment comes, we read, you know, like in 1 Corinthians there, where he talks about communion and judging people. He said, there's many weak, sick among you, and ones die prematurely. They wouldn't judge themselves. That judgment he's talking about there isn't a judgment that God is doing because he don't like them or like what they're doing. That judgment is based upon love. He said it's so they're not condemned with the world. In other words, he wants them to get reward when they go. He uses the judgment to awaken them. People in the church world today, and many Christians, are not wicked. They're having their problems in their life because being judged. And the judgment is trying to wake them up to change to what they're doing so the problem will end. It's about reward. It ain't got nothing to do with God trying to get them. God wasn't trying to get the Christian. He got them. They're his. But he wants to reward. And even in this life, he wants them to get well. And he will judge them if they're doing things that cause them to be sick. He is judging them, trying to awaken them that something's wrong. That there's something wrong. That's why lots of times things happen and people ignore it. You know, I watch people, they go through 20 years of sickness and problems. They're ignoring the judgment and they don't realize that they're being judged. I've had Lord tell me already, I've already judged that person. This is why it's going on in their life. That's why it's happening. I've judged them. I'm trying to get them to wake up to what's going on, and they won't listen to me. They just keep hammering down through the way that they're going. I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. Don't do that. Don't be a bullhead. You know, being a bullhead could be a good thing to the right thing, but it can surely be a bad thing when you're heading in the wrong direction. Just don't be a bullhead. Get ourselves moving in a direction in this. You know, we want to be wise when we pray. I think sometimes we think we know too much. We think we're too smart. I've had that happen to me. You thought you knew? There's times that I thought I knew and I didn't know it all. You know, as I've told you, you know, back here a few years ago, maybe it's been about 5 years now. You know, got this cold thing going on, and go down to Randy Greer's meeting, can't get the thing working, you know. Now look, folks, I know about how faith, I know how to get rid of colds, dear God. But I'm going on and I ain't getting rid of this one. But you know, I finally wake up after a couple of days of my confession, and I ain't ever had nothing like this lay on me for a couple of days like that one was. And I got up the one morning, and finally out of my great wisdom, I said, Lord, what's going on? I said, I'm missing it here somewhere. What is happening? You know what? I'm going to tell you a real good reason why God hasn't spoke to you about some things. Because you've never stopped and asked Him. You just keep pushing your faith in a direction. And He will not. You need to understand this. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He will not answer unless He's talked to. He don't push in your conversations. And you don't ask Him. You just keep pushing your direction. He won't talk to you. I learned about that. I've had things I prayed for up to a year and never changed. And one day, I asked God about the same day I asked, the Holy Spirit told me what was going on and what's happening. Never did talk to me about it once. And I understand why. I never asked it. We just get pushing along and just don't, you know, we're trying to make it happen. We're just going to do it. I'll tell you. We don't need God. I'll put my red S on my chest and get my cape out. Man, I'll tell you, here we go. We're going. You know? But anyhow, I said, Lord, what's going on here? And you know, he just, you know, kicks the rug right out from under you. He says, what do you expect? He said, you ain't been walking in faith. He said, all you've been doing is looking at what's going on. He said, you're saying scriptures, but he said, you're just doing nothing but watching what's happening. And I said, yes, sir, you're exactly right. That's what I've been doing. I've been watching the symptoms. The symptoms were the big things that were going on. That was the big, I just, you might make the right confession, but your mind's thinking the wrong things all the time. Oh, yeah, come on. And what's going on in your mind and running around is dominating everything that's in your heart. Now I know I'm the only one that's done this. Just the rest of you, just you got them, those shoulder blades and wings coming out on you. I can see that there. And I just And you know what? It didn't take me long to get. I mean, I got straightened out. I mean, it didn't take me 2 weeks of praying and fasting and that stuff. I knew what to do right away. First, I repented and said, "Yes, I missed it. I wasn't walking in faith." Learn that. Learn to repent when you're wrong and admit it to God. And just, this is what people, they find out they're wrong and then just run over, I'm going to do what's right. First, admit you're wrong. Do you some good. Do you some good to admit. I always tell the Lord, say, when he shows me that stuff, I always say, yep, you're exactly right. I don't argue with him on the point. God tells me that, he's right on the point. You know, yep. He said, you know about faith. He said, you know about it. And you know what he did to me? I got over in faith and he said, yeah, you're in faith now. But he said, I'm not going to let you get away with this thing. He said, you know what to do. And then he said, you got to go. He said, I want you to go to a doctor. He's going to teach me a lesson. See, we don't like this in Christianity. We don't teach about this, God teaching people lessons. We always want to teach our kids lessons, but we don't like God. No, oh, he won't do anything. No. He said, I want you to go to see a doctor. Now, how many doctors would I know down? I'm down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. I don't know any doctors. Well, I said, Lord, where am I going to find a doctor? Well, how do I go to a doctor? I don't even know a doctor here. He said, get down the front desk. He said, they'll tell you the name of a clinic. I walked downstairs and they knew. So you listen to God. You won't be, you know, we get over and we're all our praying and doing stuff. And he told me, I went downstairs and asked him, went to the clinic. Well, the clinic really didn't do a whole lot for you. No, I'm just, you know, you're going through the stuff and you're going through those things. And they would give, gave me a prescription to go to a drugstore to get something for the cough that I'd had. But till I got home, I said, the Lord, first of all, when I got back, I went back to the hotel. And this, and you need to learn to do this. You need to learn to obey God. This is where people lots of times don't. They don't obey God, and this is why things don't work. I got back to the hotel and the Lord said this because you obeyed me. He said, you're going to get over this really quick. Till I got home, I was fine. Because I obeyed him. Obedience is better than sacrifice and obedience is better than confession. You can confess all you want. It's about obeying. The Lord knew that I had my faith in line, but he said to this, it ain't going to work. You're going to have to go to the doctor. He said, I'm going to teach you something. Well, he taught me a lesson. It was a good lesson to learn. And I tell you what, I've remembered that lesson. It's helped me. Don't be looking at what's going on around you, what's happening. Don't be following that. Stay, keep looking at where your faith's at. Keep looking there. See, we learn these things. See, I don't know if this is helping you any, but it's helping me some. But see, these are areas in the areas of healing. These are things that people don't like to talk about. They don't, and this is exactly why we come up with so many doctrines that God don't always heal, and you know, and there's the people say all this kind of stuff. God always wants to heal. He always wants to reward. Don't you ever pay any attention to somebody that says any different. God tries his best. You wouldn't believe how much the Father goes through to try to get things to people. How God works at it. It is amazing sometimes the deliverances and healings that God has done for people just out of His mercy. And they surely didn't deserve none of it. None of it. And He blessed them and did stuff for them. But people come to things. And this is why I'm getting older, if you haven't noticed. And we all get older. And I'm just going to tell you this. You see people in life. There's one thing, you know, our body comes to place one day, you know, it starts to quit. Our body's winding down. Now, we can do things in this life, and that's not just eating in some diet, for sure. You go through that, you know, and that's your faith in things. Well, you're stuck with that, whatever it can do. But you can keep your body, and you can keep your things, but understand your body is still going to be aged. You're not going to be 90 and doing what some 16-year-old kid's doing, so get over it, you know. You put all the makeup you want on it. You just when they put you in a box, they don't have to put it on. Then it's already there. See, they just lay you out. You look. You can make them look good, but they're just as dead. I always get a kick out of people. They go up, they look at their kids. Boy, they really look good. I think they're dead. Whoa, my God! Just okay. Say, if I crawled in a box and lay there like that, you'd think I was doing good. Come on, people. But there's things you do to keep yourself, and you need to know. This is one of the reasons today is why most older people and even older spirit-filled people buy everything the doctors say about health and about themselves, and this is why so many are so bad off in their as they go along. They're trusting the doctor for everything to take care of them, and you need to understand this, whether people like to hear it or not. Too many people are taking too many drugs, too much stuff is being used, and the stuff that they're using is harming them and causing a lot of problems in their life. They're using 10 drugs to try to correct one problem because the other 9 problems came from the drugs that they're taking. And you just get this compounding of things go on. And what you have to do is you want to get yourself, because I found this, as people get older, they have a tendency to get set in their ways. And if they haven't really been walking in faith, look, when you're young, you know, I could run into a brick wall and fall down and get up the next morning. If I do that today, it might be a couple days till I'm back running around again. You can't do things like you did. And this is not unbelief. It's part of just aging. Get over it. You ain't going to live forever. But there's one thing about it. We buy all this stuff that's said by the doctors and how you're going to go and your mind's going to go and this and that. People expect these things. They start expecting things to happen to them. They don't walk by faith anymore. They get over and relying on a system to take care of them, and you need to older. What you're working on and set your way in is what you're going to have to do as you get older. That's going to be your thing. And it is going to limit sometimes what God can do for you. Because of where your faith's going to be at. What do you do when the doctor can't help you and you have never been in the situation where the doctor can help you and you've never developed your faith to get out of something that the doctor can't help? You ain't going to start it then. You're going to live with it. Now, I'm not saying it's to criticize anybody, but I'm just telling you, as you get older, this is what happens. As people get older and spend more years in Christianity, they get big-headed. They think they know. They quit being teachable. I wasn't sure. Kenneth Hagin, I heard him say this, a young Christian. He said this. He said minister mostly, and he said with, you know, middle-aged and younger people, he said, because the older people, a lot of them, you ain't going to ever change them. And I used to think that was wrong, and I found out it's true today. I watch Christians as they get older, and they become, in a sense, more like the world, where they're just... They're into their health and their problem. They talk just like the world. They think just like the world does about their health. They just do the same thing, you know. My health is different, you know. The average person my age takes, in the United States, takes 5 drugs. The average person is taking, my age, is taking 5 drugs. So when they do these studies, they don't get guys like Ed Gibson to go find out about health. They go out and get 90 sickly people and they test them and then tell us how things are about health. I'm sorry, I'm not even in their category. I wasn't in their study. This is why this study stuff, you know, you got to stop listening to half this stuff. They go around and take everybody and their brothers in unbelief and then try to find out how the devil's eating up their life and then tells it this is what's going to happen to you. I got my health book. It's called the Bible. It's number one. If something comes up, I'm going to talk to God about it first. Most Christians, that's the last person they go to. They go to the doctor first. They do this first. They do that first. They do this. Then they go to find out what God has to say about it when all they did didn't work. Let's find out what God wants to do in this thing. Let's see if He has something to say. Let me just say this to you. God will get tired of that. You need to understand that. If you keep pushing Him to the last one, and the last one is the last one, He'll get tired of it after a while. After a while, He won't answer you. You grieve the Holy Ghost, and He'll quit talking to you. You keep treating Jesus like He's a nobody, and the doctor's everybody, the Holy Ghost will quit talking to you. The Holy Ghost is very zealous when it comes to Jesus. You don't treat Jesus right. The Holy Ghost is going to have a time with you. See, we don't do, you know, years back, they understood this stuff, and they understood. Today they don't, because we got all this flaky Christianity out here. It's Santa Claus Christianity. You need to understand. That's why some people can't hear from God. They can't. They have grieved the Holy Spirit, and He don't deal with them no more. They repent and turn from their wicked ways. He ain't going to do it. And what they don't see themselves as being wicked. They're just doing what everybody else does. We just do what everybody else does. We're Christians. We don't do what everybody else does. Love the, you know, the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul and mind. Do we go consult everybody else first? We consult everybody else and everything else first? And then when it don't work, that don't sound like loving the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, does it? It doesn't. God gets consulted. So as soon as we run into what we call the big problem, let's get God. All the other ones, He ain't even worth talking to. I'm God, I'll take care of it. So love the Lord your God with all your heart. Jesus told Kenneth E. Hagin in 1967, He appeared to him for over 2 hours and talked to him. And one of the things that he said has always stood out for me over the years. He said, I try to bless my people as much as I can all the time. I try as much as I can. But there's things that people do and He just can't bless them in it. But He tries. God, He tries to find a way to bless us. And this is one of the ways. Things might seem hard today, but this thing is about getting over to where we can get to the blessing. God wants to bless. And there has to be an awakening in the church. There's got to be an awakening. And just like this, when we started off talking about, Darlene's mom, it's just like with this. You know, I feel bad for Darlene. In fact, I'm more concerned about how Darlene feels about it than anything. Is because it's in her family. And you know what? Somebody that's dying and it's going and there's not a good testimony. I want a good testimony. Christians should die with a testimony for Jesus, not die like the world dies. They're not supposed to. They're not supposed to die like the world does. Just the devil drags them out. It's not supposed to. I want to leave with the testimony of Jesus Christ. I want to leave with the testimony of a good God. Hallelujah. And today we just take His death thing and we just like it with the world. And no wonder the church grieves because they have no hope. They have no hope. Most people are scared they're going to end up like that. They have no faith to leave this earth by faith. They don't have no. Like they don't know when they're gonna go. People don't know. Well, whenever your time's up. So sick of hearing that stuff. The devil will pick your time, you talk like that, and he'll have you gone way before you were supposed to. Don't you fall into that trap. And he'll turn around and he'll discredit Jesus Christ. If he can't, he wants every Christian to leave this earth in misery. And he'll do it if you let him. We don't want to leave. I don't want you to leave the earth like that. Get yourself set. Hallelujah. Decide how you want to go. He said he'd satisfy you with long life and show you his salvation. He didn't say, well, you just die whenever. And when your number's up, say we have up in heaven, they have this thing got numbers in with names on them, and they pulled yours out of the hat. Okay, let's kill him today. What do you think? Yep, I'm going to show him my salvation right now. Get that, hey, get the bolt of lightning ready. We've got to get him down here. He's going across the road. Get him quick. We're showing him salvation. Why? You know, the scriptures tell us concerning children, obey their parents and the Lord. This is a commandment. You know, see, people don't believe the commandments. You know, we don't have the law today. You do have the moral law. It's good. And it still stands today. Paul quoted it in the book of Ephesians, quoted a commandment. He said it's the first commandment with a promise. Honor your father and mother. It'll be well with you. You live long in the land. We wonder why sometimes people die. They'll say, oh, they're 50, 60 years old. Why they died? Some of them die because of their rebellion when they were young. They don't live long in the land. You don't hear that preached in a church because it's the Bible. There's some people die because of that. They never repent of their rebellion. It says the commandment. Is it true or not? It says so you'll live long in the land. And I'm sure people say this. Why did that person die? I don't know what their life was. But there's something. There's a reason. There's a reason for everything. One of the reasons I know they never have is God needs another angel in heaven. He wanted another star. Or he needed something like that. I know that's all insanity. That never happened. You ain't a star and you ain't an angel. So get over both of them. Dear God. But why? See, people don't question. They'll just sit there and they'll say wonder when the Bible tells you. See, that's why you want to repent of those things. If you don't, it can follow you down the road and eat your lunch down the road. The word's true. Paul quoted it to children in the New Testament. That's why you want your children to teach them to obey. If you don't, you're marking them for death. That's why you teach them to obey. Didn't say submit. It's called obey. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'll quit meddling. But it was good anyway. Hallelujah. There's things we're going to go over and talk in some of the areas about in the areas of healing and looking into some of these things. I covered sort of a general of the area we're going to go here today. But it's because of what's going on here with Mike. We don't want to just get praying in a direction. It's just like with Wanda had her surgery. We decided in a direction we were standing. And we told you guys what we wanted you to believe in. See, agreement is powerful. Most of the time it's never used in the church. We just say pray. And everybody prays in their direction and goes into their things. And there's no agreement, none of it. And you don't get much out of it. And I just said, pray for Mike and Darlene. Give them the wisdom of God is what to do, you know, is number one. My heart really just goes out to Darlene. And I just, you know, it's her mother. And she does want her mom to have a good home going. And this sure hasn't been, this isn't a nice way and a nice thing that's happening. There's been a lot going on for a number of years here. And trying to get things turned around sometimes a hard thing to do. I don't know if it's at a place where maybe it won't be able to be turned. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with it. I don't know. But we'll just pray for them. God will give them wisdom and what to do and what they can do. And especially in areas that are family, because you don't know how family's going to react because there's other family members involved. They might cling on to a person when a person needs to go. And they'll cling on to them. And I said, you know, if you find out God does that, I said, sit down and tell your family members, you know, release the person. You don't hold them. Because I know this. I know the other family members ain't got a lick of faith to change a thing. But I see many times they're the ones that hold on to things and try to keep things going. And they don't think about the person. They think about themselves. You don't want to ever do that stuff. You want to think about the person. You always want to get out of your fleshly desires and your fleshly stuff and look at what the person would be the best for them. And so that's what we want to do. And so let's stand to our feet. I'm going to pray here in general, and then, you know, but if you feel led, you know, by God to pray, just a remind you concerning the Lord, because we want Mike and Darlene to have wisdom in what to do here in this situation. And especially for peace concerning, you know, just like lots of times you get family members, stuff like this comes up, and it isn't always pretty with people. People get, you know, you'd think when something comes up like this, lots of times that people get nice, usually brings the ugly out in them. Usually brings ugly out in people. It's amazing. And so, you know, we need as much supernatural as we can get in this thing here. Hallelujah. To make a situation a good situation. Because the devil will always try to get his foot in where he can. Understand that. Whenever there's any kind of weakness or any kind of thing going on, that's when the devil tries to get in, and that's what he's trying to get an inroad into something. And so that's why we hear lots of times with sickness and stuff like that, a person's going through pain and stuff, lots of times dealing with those things. Boy, as soon as the devil finds a spot in a person where they can hamper, then he gets involved in it and starts making it worse. And so we want to stand against his operations in the name of Jesus in this. We don't want him to have any say in this thing. Hallelujah. We're the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. And you know, Mike and Darlene, they're part of our body. They're our family. Hallelujah. And we're joined together in authority with them. Hallelujah. And it'll work. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for your graciousness, your kindness, and your goodness. Lord God, we're not coming to you and approaching you on the basis of what we're pushing or what we need to do. Lord, we're coming to you because, Lord, we need your wisdom and we need your understanding. And Father, in this situation, we're counting on your great mercy and kindness. Lord, Darlene's mother is your child. She belongs to you. She don't belong to us. She's yours. And we just come to you, Lord God, in this situation. And Lord God, Lord, your great wisdom, you know more than the doctors do about this. You know, Lord God, whether she can hear or whatever can be done. We don't know what could be changed. We just only know the things that you have told us, Lord God. But Lord, our great desire is to Jesus Christ to be glorified and Jesus Christ to be magnified. Lord, I know many times, Lord, we do things in our life that always don't work out for your glorification. But Lord Jesus, when you told Kenneth Hagin, you try to bless your people as much as you can all the time. And Lord Jesus, I know you want to bring your blessing as much as you can into this situation. And Lord, that's what we're counting on. And Lord, I want to thank you for giving Mike and Darlene wisdom on what to do in this situation, what they need to hold. And Lord God, we agreed to hold her here till Mike and Darlene here, Lord. We agreed on that. Lord God, she's not going anywhere till we know exactly what we can do or we can't do, Lord God. But Lord God, our great desire is we want her to have a good home going. We desire her to be ready to meet you. Lord, we don't know if we can work to do that. You're going to have to show us. But I want to thank you. I expect Mike and Darlene to get supernatural wisdom and understanding, Lord God. Lord God, I expect them to have peace that passes all understanding, guarding their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Lord God, concerning the other family members, Lord God, we take authority over Satan in the name of Jesus. We rebuke strife in the name of Jesus. We refuse to let it work or operate in this situation in the name of Jesus. Devil, you're bound. We command you to quit right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, over this whole situation, we call peace and rest. And Lord God, we ask that you give the doctors and nurses wisdom on what they can do and what they're able to handle. We thank you, Lord God, for all that they can accomplish and all that they can do. But Lord God, our faith is in you. Lord, we realize that they're human like we are, and they can make mistakes and they don't know. But Lord God, we thank you for what they can do. But Lord, we expect you to step in an intervention. Lord God, there's family members that need to see the testimony of Jesus Christ. They need that glory to be revealed. Hallelujah. And so, Lord God, we thank you. Lord, I know you'll do as much as you can. And we just thank you, Lord God. Lord, that Darlene will have complete rest and peace. Lord God, you will give her the assurance that she needs. Hallelujah. Lord God, that she can walk at rest in this thing, Lord God, till its final end, whichever it may be. Lord God, we know that you could just do a miracle. We know that. Lord God, but we don't have a place to stand that you will just do that for her. Just because of what you told me. But Lord God, hallelujah. We're putting it into your hands here. And I want to thank you that you'll talk and you'll speak and you'll give direction, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father God, to leave things at rest and peace in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord God. And Lord God, I pray for each one here today. I pray for each one who's here today. Lord, there's things that you've had me talk about that surely wasn't on the list here to be taught today. But Lord God, Lord, I pray, Lord God, if there was anything, Lord God, that opened eyes or ears today to see certain things about situations. Lord, maybe not even themselves, but even, Lord God, to be able to see concerning others. And Lord God, Lord, you know, we're not just being critical of these things, Lord God. It's so, Lord God, wise decisions can be made. So, Lord God, we can know even how to pray for people and Lord God, in the directions of what's going on and what's happening. Father God, if anything, we want truth out, Lord God, because it's the truth that makes men free. It's the truth, Lord God, that works in people. And so, Lord God, I just pray today, Lord God, especially for these ones here, Lord God, that come here to church. Lord God, I want them to grow in wisdom and understanding, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I want them to be able to comprehend and know what the truth is, Lord God, so they can walk in health, Lord God, and they can convey this health to others and convey this life to others, hallelujah, that others would be blessed. Lord, you told me years ago how much you want your people to be well, how much you want your people to have sound mind, how much your desire is for your people. And Lord God, how it breaks your heart to see your people suffer. And Father, I just want to thank you, Lord God. Give us wisdom to teach and bring understanding to people in these areas, Lord God. Lord, there's so many accepting things that they should never be accepting as your will. And it's not your will, Lord God. Lord, the devil's been bringing bad things on people and the church has been embracing it. And Father God, I pray for wisdom would go forth in these last days, that the light would go on. Hallelujah. And people would see the mercy and love of God, Lord God. And how much you try to reach out to us and how much you try, Lord to God, to get a hold of us, to bring us into line. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you for that. Thank you for being so patient, dear Lord. Lord, I'd have gave up on me a long time ago, but you haven't. You haven't given up on us. Hallelujah. You keep bringing wisdom to us. You keep working with us. And I want to thank you for that. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, Lord, I want to thank you, Lord God, that you're renewing our youth like the eagles. Hallelujah. Renewing our youth, Lord God. Lord God, we're walking in health. That's your plan for us. Walking in health in the name of Jesus. People filled with sound minds in the name of Jesus. Sound minds, minds that can think clearly. Lord, we take on the mind of Christ that was given to us. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Jesus ain't thinking crazy, so we're not crazy either. Hallelujah. Our minds are clear and good. We think good thoughts, righteous thoughts. We think thoughts in line with the Word of God. We think thoughts of blessing, not cursing. Hallelujah. And we thank you for that, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, the Holy Spirit just wanted me to say something to you here. We're going to be teaching in that stuff on the areas and looking at some things in healing. It's going to be taking different sides of it. We want to look at the faith side of it, but look at some other things too. But one of the things, you'll find this out for Christians, most born-again Christians, especially us Spirit-filled folks who hear teaching on healing and stuff like that, most of the time, you're going to be healed by the areas of your faith. And that's the majority. I listened to Kenneth Hagin, who pastored for, I think it was, It was 12 years or something like that he pastored. But anyhow, he made mention that he only had three times in all those 12 years that Christian people who went to his church and that stuff talked, he only had three times that anybody was ever healed by a gift of the Spirit who were in his congregation. Now, he said he had people healed or sinners that would come in and a gift of the Spirit would go in operation. But he said he only ever had three times that a church member who had been taught on healing ever got healed by a gift of the Spirit. And I remember him, he said to me that years ago, and I found that's true. You're going to find very seldom any of you guys, I don't know if any of you have been healed here in this church by specifically by a gift of healing. You've been healed by faith. And see, this is one of the things that we're going over and teaching in this area. God is promoting in the areas of healing. And it's in healing in the church, promoting healing in the church is going to be through the word, through faith. That's how it's done. It's not through gifts of the Spirit. It's not through the gifts of the Spirit. It's through healing and faith. Why? He wants you to have it all the time. And see, many times people get healed over time of listening to the Word. Of listening to the Word. And listening to the Word. And listening to the Word. And if they'll sit and keep listening to the Word. Now you got to practice it too. You can't just sit. People do. Some people time just hear. You know, the Bible says don't be just a hearer, be a doer. Because as a doer will be blessed. But as you hear the word and hear the word, you gain faith. And faith, your faith starts to take care of the situation. Over the years, I've seen that many times. I mean, a good testimony from Maxine gave me a good testimony this morning. Over time, of sitting under the word, dealt with the problem, which you said 18 years. 18 years. And her problem went away just sitting and listening to the word. But see, there's a wonderful thing about it. Her faith brought her to that place, so it's something the devil can't come and steal because her faith can hold that. See, if you get healed with the gift of the Spirit and it wasn't your faith, you don't have no ground to keep it. You don't have a ground to keep it. You're going to have to develop faith. And see, it might seem like, oh, it'd be better to get the gift and get it right away, but she's 1,000 times better off than the person got it through the gift. Because her faith has developed and grabbed a hold of it. Now, not even that, she can grab a hold of other things. Because now, her faith has gotten to the point to grab a hold of things. See, that's the beauty of this thing. You know, we have today, it's a quick fix society. We want to just get everything quick, real fast. Hurry up, get what I want and go. That is the destruction of our society. That's been the destruction of the church. We have the pull up the window church, throw your prayer in the window, drive off, and you're supposed to get it. That's why they love the TV ministers. I can sit and watch when I want to and don't watch to, and I just send my prayer request in, and I just do this stuff and play like I'm a Christian. And all it is play. Ain't no church to it. Playing, they're playing and playing and playing and playing and playing. That is the way it works. I didn't mean to say, I just can't imagine. 18 years. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't want to put up with 18 years. I don't. But how did she? The Word of God set her free. The Word of God did that. She's not special. The Word of God will do that for anybody. You take the Word of God. You need to understand this in ministering to people. Generally, if you can't get Christians to come and sit down and listen, you're wasting your time trying to minister to them. You're wasting your time. If they won't sit down and listen, you're wasting your time. We have wasted a lot of time. We've called ministry. The church has spent billions of dollars. The devil has hauled it all off because the church and what we call ministry ain't ministry at all. They said concerning Jesus' ministry, they came to hear and be healed. Most people, they just want healed. Don't bother talking. Just wave your wand over me. Get me better. Goodbye. I have better things to do. It don't work that way. Hallelujah. But whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you're free indeed. Hallelujah. It isn't a once and done. Glory to God. See, it's good, and I love to see it. There's nothing greater to me than people start acting in line with the Word and see the fulfillment of acting in line with the Word. There's nothing greater. Nothing greater. I have not seen anything in a miracle that I think is any greater than that. And a person sits and hears the word, and the word gets a hold of them. And what the word got in them gets on them. Hallelujah. And they get free. There's nothing better. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll take my faith over a working of miracle any day, because you can get the miracle by your faith. We in this place here, we can agree anytime for a miracle. We can agree anytime. Or two agree is by touching any, you know, anything you ask. Just think about that. We can do that. We don't have to wait for the working of miracles. Jesus set in motion the miracle working thing in the church in the prayer of agreement to whatever the church would agree to, it would happen. Think if the church would ever come in line with that. My God. And all the church wants, oh, Holy Ghost, give me a work and a miracle without us doing anything. Yet all the time, Jesus already said there, we could have a miracle anytime. I've seen people agree, Christians agree concerning a person. MS in a wheelchair, get up and walk out of a wheelchair. People agree. I've seen it happen. People agreeing. Wasn't no working of miracles, wasn't it? The church agreed. It isn't always easy to get everybody to agree. That's why I talk about these things a lot, because we move in a direction. You guys have gotten good at this. I'm moving, listening to a direction and head the same direction, believe the same thing, and you get the outcome that you want. That's the wonderful thing about it. Hallelujah. Just remember, you're not going to get from God what you want. You're going to get from God what you can believe. Asking me to agree with you on something and you don't have the faith to agree for it, it's not going to work that way. It's what we can agree on. Amen? We have to know that. That's why we all want to build my faith. I don't want to be a drag on you. I don't want you guys to be able to believe God, me standing around not be able to believe God. I don't want, you know, it'd be a drag on somebody, wouldn't it? We want to believe God together, make things happen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, thank you this morning. We just appreciate all, Lord God, of your plan and what you're going to do.